Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Take-Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and today I have with me as my co-host, Sabina, and she is having problems with allergies, so I'm going to do most of the talking today. Oh, my gosh. David just went through that. We all go through it. It's that time of the year, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we have our guest yet. Dale, are you on the phone yet?
Well, yes, I am. How are you?
Oh, good, good. I wasn't sure because I had connected and I didn't hear you at first. Well, for our listeners, our wonderful guest tonight is a wonderfully talented award-winning Dale Raul, and she plays in True Blood, The Office, Friends, many, 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 many things.
Hi. Thank you for the nice introduction.
It was a little off today. I usually do it better than that. So.
Oh, it was great.
Thanks for joining us.
You've
done so much. My gosh, you've been a busy woman.
Well, I'm fortunate to be a character woman, which means I don't really have to worry about getting older. So
yeah.
I get to play all kinds of crazy parts, and you know, I'm just a very fortunate person to be able to make a living at what I love doing. And as years have passed, I've been doing more and more and more interesting roles. So I consider myself very fortunate.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because not everybody can fit into every type of different author
right.
or film or movie or TV or anything, and you
exactly.
can adapt to that, and that's wonderful for you.
Well, thanks.
You fell in love with acting at an early age when you were in a play at the age of 6.
Yes, exactly. It was kind of strange. I tell the story that I got the part of the mother in the kindergarten play, and I was in the first grade then, but I got the part because I was the tallest girl.
Oh,
I just remember. Yeah, I just remember being kind of excited by the camaraderie of it and being on stage and being kind of powerful and getting to tell this story to people who were listening. And, you know, of course, they were just little kids, but I think
mm-hmm.
it sort of holds true for today. Also, my dad was an attorney, so I would see him, and I think that, you know, there's some connection to that somehow.
Oh, okay. Now, how did you, I mean, at 6, it's kind of hard to, like, base your character on somebody, but did you kind of think of your mom? No?
I guess so. I don't think so. I'm sure I just tried to remember my lines, and that's, I can kind of vaguely remember it, but I think I was probably terrified and thrilled at the same time.
Yeah. Do you still get stage fright at all, or have you grown out of that?
Yeah, I do, actually. Not so much when you work in television or a movie, because it's a different kind of being nervous.
Right.
You don't rehearse very much, but there isn't an audience, really, and you know, you rehearse before you shoot it, but it all happens very quickly, and so it's a different kind of nervousness. But I, you know, when you're in a play or doing some sort of a reading or something, there's always the first time when there's an audience, and then there's the first time when there are critics, and that's always a different kind of scared.
Right.
I don't think it ever goes away.
Yeah.
Pardon me? Yeah.
Do you pay attention to what the critics say? Are right.
You know, I used to, and I think I'd say now I try not to read them, because if it's really wonderful, then you want to believe it, but if it's really terrible, then you don't want to believe it.
Right.
So I think it's better just to let people have their opinion, and you just try to do the best you can.
Well, I'll tell you what, as a viewer, I do not read critics' reviews, because I don't necessarily agree with them. You know, they'll
exactly.
say something is bad, and yet I loved whatever the TV show was or the film or the, you know, the
yeah,
play.
Yeah, exactly. And nowadays, too, you know, the critics aren't maybe as experienced or educated in the field as you might wish they would be. So, you know, you're going to base your theater or film going experience on the words of somebody who may not really know what they're looking at.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's better just to make make your own, you know, make your own judgment.
Yeah, and I do.
Yeah.
So
good.
So there. To them critics. Ha ha. Oh. What were your first emotions when you booked your first TV show?
I was really thrilled and scared. It was for Murder, She Wrote. Murder, She
mm-hmm.
Wrote with Angela Lansbury. And, of course, you know, she was a big theater star, so to me she was like a goddess. And I think I was playing a nurse, and I think I had about, two or three lines. And I really didn't know how shooting any kind of thing worked, and so I didn't understand why I had to wait so long, and I was sitting in my trailer forever, and I thought, oh, my God, they've forgotten about me or something. You know, I remember getting out on the set, and what I had to do wasn't hard at all, but I remember Angela Lansbury was so nice to me, and she was wearing her bedroom slippers, and I thought that was very interesting that she was. Yeah, but I'm sure it's happened. She was probably in her 50s then, or probably her feet hurt, and she thought no one's going to see them. So, but she was very nice, and it was very exciting.
that would have been amazing. I definitely enjoyed Murder, She Wrote, and I noticed you've guest starred on so many wonderful shows, including Friends, one of my favorites, and just so many awesome shows. And I was wondering, what's your favorite one that you've been on?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I must say that True Blood has been, of course, high on my list, and part of that is due to several things. I have such a fun, crazy character that's been lovely.
Yeah.
But, of course, to work on a show over a period of years, you get to know the people and to feel comfortable and close to them. That is a rare treat. Other than that, let's see. I enjoyed I did a movie with Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon some years ago called Out to Sea. And they, of course, were movie stars and movie idols. And they were just such lovely, lovely older gentlemen. And that was a big thrill, really big thrill. And then, I had a little part in a movie called The Mexican. And Brad Pitt was the star, that was kind of thrilling.
Yeah.
He was very, very nice, very sweet, and, you know, of course, really, really cute, and just a lovely, lovely guy. So that was really fun. Those are the ones that come to mind.
Well, your recurring role as Mama Maxine Fortenberry on True Blood, did you watch the show before you got involved with it?
Well, actually, it wasn't on. I think I came in on the fourth episode of the first season. So, of course, it hadn't aired yet.
Okay.
But I knew that since it was an Alan Ball show, he's the guy who created 6 Feet Under, and, you know, he won an Oscar for the movie American Beauty. And so I knew that it would be, a very quality project. So I was thrilled. I really wanted to get the part, and I worked hard on the audition, and it was a nice fit for me. And when I got the job, I was thrilled. And at the time, they'd said, it might recur, but I didn't really realize how I would still be doing it 5-6 years later. I just thought, I'll be doing a couple of episodes. And they didn't know at the time, of course, how it would be received and if it would be a hit and how long it would go. And everyone had high hopes, but you just never know.
Well, I love her because she's over-possessive, over-protective with her son. And you're also known as a town busybody and a vampire hater. Those things sort of get you in trouble as that character. But
yes.
I love the town busybodies on shows. They're the most fun to watch. You never know what they're going to do next. And it just reminds me of, like, Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched.
that's a great comparison. Yeah, they're the most fun parts to play because, you know, they write such wicked, delicious dialogue for them, and you just never know what's going to happen. And every time you get the script, you think, well, now what am I going to be doing? And especially on this show, you know, I was bitten by a vampire and became possessed, and
right.
It's like, okay, whatever, I'm up for it.
That was hysterical, too. And I noticed, you know, how your eyes got all dark and everything, and I know that that's probably contact lenses. Are they bothersome for your eyes, or are they pretty easy to wear?
Well, actually, I'd never worn contacts before. I have them now, but I'd never worn contacts, and they were really big and black, and they sent us to an ophthalmologist, I guess, who fitted us for these ones. And so then they had technicians on the set that would put them in and take them out, which was great.
I was
very skittish about doing that at the time. And they were not very comfortable. You kind of got used to them, but it was sort of as if you were seeing through sunglasses.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, and it was a little bit hard to walk here and there, but they took care of us, and any time you weren't in the scene or the camera wasn't on you, they would take them out.
Oh,
I guess it was as good as it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried contact lenses, and I had a really, really hard time getting them in and out of my eyes as well. And one time I got one stuck, and I said, that's it, no more.
Well, when I first got them this year, and I went to I couldn't get them out, and so I went back to the doctor, and he said, Dale, teenage girls can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can learn to do this. But it's no fun, I must say. The interesting thing was is that this doctor, that's all he does is to make contacts for movies and television. And so when we went for your fitting, there were all these posters of huge famous movies and movie stars who were wearing like creepy zombie contacts or alien eyes or something. So I thought, what, you know, only in Los Angeles would you have such a wacky profession. But it was cool.
That's too funny. I remember the one line when you said, your son is calling you out on everything you dislike, and you say, I simply object to a girlfriend that will kill you and eat you.
Yeah, exactly. That pretty much sums it up. Yeah.
You have some great lines in there. If you could choose a love interest on True Blood, who would you choose?
Oh, my. Personally or as my character? Any of, you know, all those boys are so handsome and nice. I mean, I couldn't, you'd be very hard to pick one if you lined them up in a room, believe me.
Right.
I've always thought it'd be nice if Maxine could have a boyfriend, but so far nobody has really shown up. There was a season where I was in cahoots with the high school guidance counselor, I think he was. And I thought, well, he's a possibility, but he never came back on the show. So,
no.
I thought, but who knows? I don't know yet what's going to happen this season. So anything.
Well, I think it would be really funny if one of them did end up being a vampire, since you're so against.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, they'll come up with something. Those writers are so incredibly smart and creative. They'll come up with something very sane.
Well, have you gone to any of those Comic-Con conventions that they have?
You know, I haven't yet. I'd be very curious to go because I know they're just wild. Have you ever been to one?
No, I think Sabina, have you?
Yeah, I have. I've been to Dragon Con here in Atlanta because I live in Atlanta, and that's always on my birthday weekend. So,
oh my gosh,
it's a great convention. It's fantastic. Hopefully, get to come one year. It's great.
Well, you know, I just was in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is not too far from you, and we were shooting Under the Dome. There's a new Stephen King series coming out this summer on CBS, and I went down and shot the pilot. And so I really would love to come to Atlanta just because I know there's a lot of filming there and a lot of great shows that are shot there. And, you know, it'd be nice to do. So I'll keep Dragon Con in mind.
Yeah,
okay,
I'd like
great.
To go to one day, too. I mean, Sabina's talked about them and that they've been so much fun, and I've heard from other people, too. And you talk about fans. They are going to know every single thing about you.
Yeah, I get pictures. People send me pictures of themselves as Maxine for Halloween, and it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
It's fun to be. It's fun to be part of a show that's popular, though. Really, it's a great gift, and it's very gratifying and very fun.
Now, I'm curious about one thing. Did you get your Twitter name True Dale Raul before or after joining True Blood?
After.
After, okay.
I joined Twitter after True Blood. Yeah, so you know what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah. I was just wondering because you had True in there and most people put Real. And so I
right, exactly. No, we did it that way. Yeah.
Good idea.
Correct.
Now, what character do you get the most recognition from on the streets? Would it probably be Maxine?
Yes, for sure. Sometimes, strangely enough, I get recognized from what was it called? Designing Women. That was on, 20-some years ago, and I played kind of a Mary Kay Cosmetics type tycoon. And, there are a lot of real rabid fans of that show, and so occasionally I'll get that, but mostly Maxine nowadays.
Well, either one is so good. I mean, I love Designing Women. My gosh, I watched that
show. Oh, I know.
I did, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. It holds up still, too. I mean, the shoulder pads are a little big, but
yeah,
but it still looks good.
Sabina, you wanted to ask a question?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm kind of lost that and out of it. I don't feel that great, so I'm hanging in there.
Good.
So I noticed you've done a lot of theater as well,
uh-huh.
And I was wondering what your favorite production to be a part of was and why.
Oh, gosh, let's see. Well, I had a really wonderful experience at the Pasadena Playhouse doing Look Homeward, Angel. That was a highlight. And then actually we did a production here in Los Angeles of a play called Steaming, which is a six female character play that takes place in a British steam bath. And it's about the lives of these women that come to the steam bath. And we had a wonderful scenic design team. We had a swimming pool on stage and steam, and it was really it was very well received and ran for a long time, and it was a big thrill to do that. And what else comes to mind? Oh gosh, every show you do, you kind of become a family, and especially if the production is good and people are it's well received, it becomes kind of like this tight unit that you have, and then when it's over you kind of grieve for it. So most shows you come away with friends and happy memories. So those were the ones that kind of come to mind off the top of my head.
Yeah, I love plays. I love theater. And my dad, thankfully, as a child, when we were children, used to bring us all the time. And I'm very grateful for that because I've now, passed that down to my children, too, and they love them.
Exactly. It's very important, actually. And then it teaches people the importance of the arts and, it helps you be a more broad-minded person and more inclusive of thoughts and people, and that's important.
And it gives you something nice to do as a family, too.
Exactly. Totally.
There's not a lot of things that you can do as a family these days, it seems, because everybody's lifestyles are, every which way, especially with my kids being grown. And it's
right.
Nice when we get to do this.
Right.
So I wanted to ask you about the web series, Fumbling Through the Pieces. I absolutely love that series. And
oh, that's great.
How did you end up getting the part of Mrs. Goldstein?
It was through friends, actually. I have a guy friend who knew the producer, and of course the producer was involved in the casting, and they had this role coming up, and so the director Julie Smith called and asked me if I'd be interested, and I loved Marina, the producer, so I said, well, sure, and I said, I know you guys have done great work, and the series was well received, so I said it would be wonderful, and hopefully my character is going to come back next season. That's what Julie says anyway.
I hope so.
I think I'll be up to more hijinks. But it was fun to play, you know, kind of this kind of wily lawyer, because it was way different than my True Blood character. And she appears to be such a nice, smart woman, but basically she's just a snake.
I loved when you called Hillary a virgin at her age, because she's never been sued before. And she then, she's looking at herself and kind of pulling up her boobs and tucking herself in and like, when did I get old?
Yeah, exactly. She's so great, isn't she, Hillary Smith? What a wonderful person. She's such a really super actress and really fun. It was actually just a great group of people. I just loved it. I was sorry I only did the one episode, but as I say, I think I'll have more to do next year. So we're very happy and optimistic for the show.
Yeah, I'm going to put a B in Julie's bonnet with that.
Good. That would be good. Thank you. Goodness. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I wanted to ask you, too, what was it like to not only act with but also dance with Jack Lemmon and Donald O'Connor?
Oh, well, scary. First, we had to go to rehearsals in Los Angeles. We shot that movie on a cruise ship in the Caribbean, which, of course, was fabulous. It was actually a real ship. So, I mean, a ship that was actually with passengers. So, you know, a lot of the people on the ship worked as extras, and they got to see Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau and, you know, Diane Cannon, and there are a bunch of other people. So we had these rehearsals in Los Angeles because I had to dance with Jack Lemmon in this one. And he was a terrible dancer. And, you know, I'm dancing with this legend, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. But he kept saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm terrible.
Oh.
So I knew that when we shot the scenes that, you know, they were not going to show our feet. So we were fairly safe. But then when we got on the ship and we were shooting, we shot one day out on the deck, and it was sort of as if we were all at a dance lesson, I guess. And so I got paired up with Donald O'Connor, you know, who's, you know, a legend for Singing in the Rain.
Mm-hmm,
and he, you know, so you don't really see it too much in the movie, but I spent the whole day dancing with him, and he was just adorable and darling, and, you know, but I felt like a complete klutz, because it's not my, you know, I can move around, but I'm not like a great dancer, and we had to do the cha-cha and the merengue and the, I forgot, foxtrot or something, and, you know, this guy is like the best dancer in the universe, even at age 70, but it was, you know, certainly a memory I'll always treasure.
Right.
But it was cool.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Now I have to watch the movie again after you talk about it.
I know.
You got to watch these parts.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch again, too, because it's been a while since I saw that. And
yeah,
it was
exactly.
Fantastic.
Right, right.
So I can tell you, or speaking very fondly of those co-stars, is there anyone you have not already worked with that you would love to work with?
Well, I don't know how this would ever happen, but you never know. I would just love to work with Alan Rickman, and I'm a big Helen Mirren fan, and I would love to be, you know, even in their presence somehow, or to hear them talk, but to work with them would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. You know, I'd love to work with George Clooney. I think he's someone who's so smart and talented and clever. I think that would be an experience. My gosh. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a million people I could think of, but
Those are good choices, though.
Yeah, don't you think? Those are good, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I read that your husband's a four-time Emmy winner and works mainly on Y&R as their lighting director. Have you ever worked with him in any of your shows or movies or anything?
Yes, I've never worked on Young and the Restless. I just have chosen not to really audition for it or anything because the guys would tease me so much. I don't think I could ever get through my lines because they, you know, Ray's worked over there for so many years. We sort of know everybody at this point, and they would just give me such a hard time.
Yeah.
The play I talked about, Steaming, he did the lighting for that, and he won a Drama Critics Award for his work, which was nice. And, mostly in the theater, he's lit two or three shows that I've done, and that's been great. Never any kind of film project or anything, but we actually met doing theater, and so, you know, it's very dear to our heart, actually. But his hours are so crazy at CBS, it's hard for him to get away to do a play much anymore. But I think once he ever retires, he'd probably enjoy doing that. Just, you know, just having some free time to do that would be great.
Yeah. Now, I watch Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful and Days of Our Lives and all, you know, all, pretty much all the soaps. So I would love to see you even just as a guest role on one of them.
Well, yeah, I did. This was years ago. I did Days of Our Lives a long time ago. And then, General Hospital, whatever ones were out here, you know, everybody's sort of done, you know, a week or two on soaps. But there are only, I think, four left. It's really ridiculous.
Yeah, there's, General Hospital, Young and the Restless, Bold and the Beautiful, and Days of Our Lives. But
yep.
All My Children and One Life to Live are coming back April 29th on the through, like, Hulu and iTunes.
Oh, that's right.
Mac.
You just wonder what kind of production values they'll have. It just won't be, I don't know. I mean, we can. It's great that they can do that and bring the shows back that way, but it won't be the same as watching them on TV, I don't think, and seeing those sets and costumes.
Yeah,
but
you know what?
We'll
as
see.
A longtime fan, I don't care.
Well, see, that's the truth. You just care about what's happening to the people.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, it's sort of like you could even enjoy things on the radio.
Yeah.
I used to
work for a company where we sold the, talk about dating myself, we sold cassettes of the old-time radio shows. And
I love those. Yeah, I listen to those on Sirius Radio in the car. My husband's like, why are you listening to this? I don't know, I like all those old mysteries.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
I love them. And I used to put them on in the car too for the kids, and they would.
Right.
I would tell them, listen and use your imagination to what they're talking about, what they're doing. Just picture in your head, you know, as they're talking, because I would be laughing and they were looking at me like I was crazy.
Right.
You know?
Well, good for you. You help their imaginations.
I hope so.
For sure.
Well, last question before we let you go, because we're almost at the 30-minute mark. I wanted to know what you haven't done yet that you would like to do. I mean, you pretty much did everything.
Well, let's see. I'd love to do a Western. I think that would be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to do, I don't know what it would be, but it would be fun to do an action movie of some kind where I got to, you know, I don't know, play like a murderous serial killer or something really extreme. What else? I don't know. It'd be fun to do a big costume drama, you know, where they, you know, with all the fabulous costumes and jewels and crowns and all that. It would just be fun to play all, you know, as many kinds of characters as you can, but it would be fun to do something kind of wacky. I guess that's the word I would use for something so out. I just like to play something really outlandish. I think that'd be great.
Well, I mean, Maxine is kind of there, but
yeah, you're right. I was just thinking that. I don't think my hair could get any bigger.
Every time I say her name, I just, these different scenes come into my head, and I see you trying to pull the cross down, and you're saying,
"Oh,
Lord,
yeah,
is a vampire. What do you think he's going to do when he sees this?" You know.
Well, you're so. I love that you can recite lines. That's very flattering. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I would thank you so much for joining us today, and we welcome you back at any time.
Well, thank you so much to both of you. And Sabina, I hope you feel better. And
I wish you guys
both the best, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good,
Jess,
and we wish you
all
the best,
take
too.
Care.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, my gosh. Sabina, do you watch True Blood?
No, I don't have HBO. Unfortunately, I can't watch. I could.
Oh.
I've got to try to watch because it sounds interesting. I think I saw a clip of what you were talking about. I did see her some clips of hers on a reel. So I saw a little bit of her playing Maxine,
mm-hmm.
and she's definitely great. And I want to go back and watch some of the stuff that I used to watch that she guest starred in. And, of course, a couple movies. So, yeah, there's a lot I need to catch up on as well
yeah.
as go backwards and watch.
The old movies, you know, the old black and whites and things like that, and some they even colorized, and, you know, they never get old to me. I can watch them over and over. You know, it doesn't matter when they were made. It just, I love those movies. And I love everything that Dale does. She's just so funny. She's so great at what she does, and I look forward to more from her.
Yeah, I would love to see her do all those things she named at the end that she would love
yeah.
to do. I would love to see that, too.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to have her back sometime once she's, got another season under her and maybe this TV pilot that she was talking about, and maybe we can go more into that because I know she has some upcoming projects.
Right.
So I'd love to have her back at some time. But thank you to our listeners for joining us today, and I hope you'll join us Thursday, April 18th at 7 p.m. Eastern when we
yes.
have Kate Manzi. And
hey,
Sabina,
Manzi.
You better be feeling better that day.
I know. I want to be feeling better. I mean, I've met the lady, and she's fantastic. She's so sweet, and I know you're going to love her and love talking with her. She is a sweetheart.
Yeah, and she plays Abigail Devereaux on Days of Our Lives. So nice long name for her there, you know. Good thing they go by Abby all the time. But
yeah.
I was trying to get a surprise for us, but it doesn't look like it's working out. But it'll still be a blast to be able to talk to her and you know, what she's done before Days and what she likes to do, what she's looking forward to, and things like that. So I hope that you'll join us and call in if you'd like to speak with her. The phone number is 1-718-506-1540 and press the number 1. And again, that's April 18th at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio. Sabina and David, my other co-host, you can follow them on Twitter at Take Two Radio Crew. Check out the website for upcoming guests, previous podcasts, All My Children and One Life to Live updates. I've put a new category on there for that. I put the iTunes and the Hulu on there. There's some videos on there. Check it out. There's a countdown clock even. I figure out how to do that. Yay me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Counting down what now?
To All My Children and One Life to Live start.
Okay.
Get with it, woman. Get with it. But
you know, I didn't watch either one of those.
I know. You'll have to start. And then also you can listen to any of our previous shows on iTunes. And thank you so much for joining me, Sabina, even though you are not up to par. And I will
You're
excuse
welcome.
You. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Take care and God bless. We'll see you again on the 18th.